This morning, I would like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah, the book of prophets, Isaiah chapter 64, and we'll read the verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This morning, I want us to think about the perfect view of self. The perfect view of self. Sir, Mesuma. Yeshua hua de ye ti ankasa ni pa atie obi a hwe no hua se de otia ankasa na ye bedwin Isaiah prophet Isaiah na semo kan wo chapter 64 verse 6 no ho ne de akasa de we o se se ye nya ye sa de a en ho ntie na ye papa nya ai se ntuma agufi o se ye nya ye ti kwote se fi a awo a otia to fom na ye bone I said, I'm from a boy in the apple. That is the meaning of a dream who anopes. Turn a patriot. Now, the Isaiah, all come away. A chair, Miss Manipa, tear, Angasa. Say, dear Nipa, a tear, you soup, and a bibia, and an Isaiah, a come on. Now, some more time we don't hear how man relates. Yes, we think of man being a sinner, but I think we still think there's some good in us. Okay, but this is how we are. Even those who have been saved. By the Lord Jesus Christ, who have his righteousness, that they can bring it before God. They are still sinners saved by grace. Saved people are still sinners. Not that they are good and perfect people in themselves, no. They can say, even if you are a young person, why did the prophet Isaiah speak these words at this time? You know, the nation of Israel was God's people, God's nation. God was ruling over them, and he gave them his laws. And he told them that when they obey his laws, there will be blessings. And when they disobey him, there will be curses and punishment over them. And at this point, these people, the Israelites, have sinned continuously. God has warned them, they care not. So Isaiah, looking at what was going to happen to them, there was the Chaldeans. They were the people who were ruling the whole world. They were the most powerful kingdom of the Chaldeans. Then we have the Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his people. They were invading so many nations, and God was going to use these Chaldeans to come and invade Israel. That is the Israelite people, and then. As they are thinking about what is going to come upon them, and you know that these invasions will have happened, but they wouldn't have been affected if they had obeyed God, and that if they had not sinned against him. God is faithful to his word, to his promises. If his people were faithful to him, he wouldn't leave them for them to be destroyed. They can say, as I can say, Yet Isaiah was not disobeying God, but we all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And if you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, you see that the people, though they have sinned against God, they were still trying to worship. They were offering sacrifices. You know, if you read the chapter, I say that I don't like your sacrifices again. I'm not interested in your offerings. I'm not interested in whatever you are bringing to me, because you have disobeyed my laws. You see, so Isaiah, looking at these people still holding on to their sin, they will not want to obey God, and yet trying to do something to please God. He said, no. All that we are doing, our righteousness is ours as filthy rags. And go for my money. Isaiah chapter 1, I try and say, sacrifice,
yangu kwa sasa uno omu kwa nyeki ma na zia kwa dini osuno nyoma moye ni ya nyoma yeye ni ya ni aya nyoma aya dene mumu no yeye oboni so ni ni ya ya dini tu magufio ni mieni papa yeye oboni mwa dini tu magufio ni mieni na besi dena che papa aye papa ndi anu ambesi ebi mhu ano kwe na my concentration will be on the, I think, the first part of the verse, which is, but we all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. The other part, I mean, it's far, but our concentration is this. So we shall apply this deplorable condition of this Israelite under this statement of Isaiah to ourselves, to the condition of all mankind. Because the Israelites were sinners, they are not the only people who were sinners. All mankind are sinners. We are all sinners like them. Okay, but at that time, God was dealing with them in particular cases. But this is about all of us. This statement is true about every human being that have come to live after Adam on this earth. And then, how if this condition, we try to do anything and not to seek after righteousness of Jesus Christ, our condition become worse. And then, we are only made to wait for the judgment of God over our lives. There can I say, Sir Israel for Tibiana na aye din if say woni o ma ye din ti na yakopon sutwe bo bo so no esa na ehwe ni esa na ni panyia tie if say jade akai no nye Israel for nko a ni panyia ye ho nti because of if say woni nti na ye papa ye be yo woni bia en so nyame ni na sa ni panyia tie na sa Israel for Tibiana ti say obi biara wa sa si so na on ba Kristo ho en be sure no mo fa ni ne mo jam en be pa no Emma no honti e munya Kristo atrene na okosu ti e biase no fise o me de me yaboni e de na so Yakobo je I mean Yakobo di manase bisa na emu ni anso ahwe e kwan e befa so na etumi hu nyanya Kristo trene e ba be kata yen ye hu fini so ma ye hu ati wo na ni so we look at this in four different points and the first thing is why are all mankind unclean before God adenti na dipenya hu ti onyame anim and the second thing is why all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I didn't think your papa nyaa to say into my buffy. And the third thing is the worsening of our condition when we try to amend our righteousness. Sir, ye tibia no po essay, say ye niya ko se beti ye tren tren, ye yabra abo na achi ano, e wo nyami ni mua. Sir, how are you ko se, muna, the necessity of having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Na de kato ono, say de hube niya se, ebe niya kristo ne, tren ne, e wo ye tibia mu. So why are all mankind unclean before God? You know that, as I said before, our very origin reminds us of how we were born in sin. Then also, our natural depravity. Naturally, we are depraved. We are corrupt. We, by the birth, how we came to this world, we all tend to sin. Then also, from infancy, we begin to lie. Envy. Look at children. Oh, well, that's my common example. I have two daughters. The little one, I mean, she's even learning how to speak. She will sit on her chair and put her leg on her sister's chair. She doesn't want her to come and sit also. I mean, who taught her that? This should tell us how we come with sin. And she will just be doing something, and when you tell her to stop, then she's seeking. Who taught her that? I mean, it is wrong. You know, by our nature, we are sinners, and we know it. But people try to ignore. They say, oh, we are good. I mean, we not all of us are. After we can do bad things. No, but from the infancy, we have sinned now to the age we think that we are not even sinners. If we can even say so. They can say, from this my your tibia, the very reality, I can say, you say, you are proud of your meaning. If you say, okay, I'm correct, then get it up because I'm going to get you about going to penny. Get you to be telling you, I'm going to better than you, so, or some one chance, either I am, or one chance. No, because if you don't see as I deal with. So I said, and to nip to me, I said, oh, yeah, you're born there, but here we are, you're diabol. The fact is that from infancy, we are sinners through and through. That should tell us that what? We are sinners. And that sin is with us. We grow with it, and when we grow, we begin to be wise a bit in the world, not in the sense of before God, but in the sense of when later we think that we are so smart to outweigh people so that they wouldn't see our bodies. When we are children, we do bad, everybody sees this. But when we grow up, we begin to cover our sin more and more so that people don't see our sin. And it's the worst case. You know that when Christ came to this world, He loved children. See that? Let the children come to me. He loves children because he knows that they are ignorant mostly about what they are doing. But you and I, if we are grown up, we are not ignorant of what we are doing. Yes, we might have ignorance about some things, but basic things that we tell, our lies, our envy, our lust, and things that we cherish against things of God, we know it. And this makes us are unclean before God. The can say, you should inquire at here, Omuni, Munipeni, and Ock, or Katakat and Bonesu, as if they were on Yonin Paponi. If we say, Yenyani, Yunyan Sakakra, and Yetina Minimu, Yunyans or Bonim, the Katakat and Bonesu, in the Kataswa, and if we say, oh, you to me, Papa, and they would say, oh, Jane, Jehosha, here, at the bar, now who they would drop his own Yansa. We know what the Bible says is true, that we are all unclean, thin before God. From infancy to wherever we think, some preacher said that you can see a gray headed person with a dark heart, which means that the problem to me if you drink Peter, I can realize this will be a good food, and then we'll now come at to me because that is sin. Okay. You know that Adam was made in innocence and in righteousness, he was made good. But his goodness, God tested him and wanted him to, if he can stand on his own. You see, even Adam, who was perfect and good, could not stand on his own against him. You see how it is? Adam himself could not stand on his own against him. When the tempter came, though he has a perfect choice to make, either to accept it or not, unlike you and I, that already we are already sinful, so we already throw ourselves into sin. But even he, who was so upright, fell into sin. So see how sin is so dangerous. So Adam, God made him, when he came out of the hands of God, no, God made him out of the earth, but he made him perfect. He didn't, there was no deformity in Adam. God had created everything in the whole world, said that everything was what? Perfect. And God, when God says perfect, it's perfect. Okay, so Adam falling into sin fell with all those of his descendants. He represented us when he fell into sin. But near Adam here, you know, or yeah, my end, we did not my end. Or she has said, I don't see if she has with me. It's one she has with you, and she has with you, what you are against the old one. I don't know where you're not born at that time. The Bible says, for by one man sin, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. If Papa was not born anywhere, we are saying, then I'm soon a woo swab and then see. So that is the issue of sin. So when I said that we all as an unclean thing, that is the meaning. We are all sinners through and through. You know, we believe in total depravity as one of our key points of the doctrines of grace. And many people will try to dodge around it. But total depravity, as I've explained to you, is so clear that from infants we are totally depraved. But it's sometimes hard thing for people to take it. Look at man. If man is corrupt, why is he not doing everything that, so bad? He can even decide to do some good thing and not to do bad. But that's not the case. It's before God. Before God, we are totally depraved. So those who will not accept that we are totally depraved and sinners, it could be out of pride. Yes, it's out of pride. If Joma Gidi said, yeah, yeah, the boy for cry, then we will be cool. When you can cry, papa, cry with you. How much more? If the Bible, no one can say, yeah, baby, if you buy, you know. And then, yeah, you can tell me, say, the boy for. Nyanka sounds so, yeah, no man, you say, the boy for. Yeah, the boy for. Then we will say, oh, yeah, the boy for. Yeah, that, it's pride. That, I'm sure. Anyone who denounces total depravity is out of pride and trying to cover his own sin in that. But if anyone will understand his total depravity, well then he will also know how God has opened a fountain at Calvary. How God has sent Jesus Christ to come to the cross to come and offer himself. Until I see my sin as such, I'm totally corrupt. Nothing. Whatever I can do that cannot please God, then I can also see that God has given a way. In one of the prophets, he said that God has opened a fountain for sin and uncleanness, which is Jesus' blood. A fountain that we can plunge ourselves into, wherein we can be saved. So yeah, did say at the one for name and also the baby who said, oh yeah, go on the pahom, oh Calvary. And now just to move down now with you. As we know, we are in the time of Easter, people say they are going to church and all that. Last week I said that until we ourselves have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sin, the death of Christ is nothing to us. It's like folklore, it's like tales in our mouth. But that is what people think it is. Christ has died for all, so all things are done. No, but you yourself, has God given you for giving you your sin? That's what we have to think about ourselves. They can say, sir, you who say you are the one for any baby and your call, your coupon will change now. They are born a change. David cried, David, or your born today, okay, in Psalm 51. When David said, he said, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Bonimuni, I mean me, Bonimina, mammy, a woman. We're shaping iniquity. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, we say that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. When we are born, we don't seek after God. Yes, we begin to put a kind of religion. Sorry. And yes, he doesn't have time now for God. Because when he goes to church and he's been told even about his own sin, until God has helped him to open his own eyes, he will partially accept it. Oh yes, we are sinners. But to take it, if you have accepted it, then you have to repent of it and come to Christ for cleansing. Yes, I've accepted it, but I go home and continue with my sin. So you see, until God has helped us to, by his Holy Spirit, to be convicted of sin, we shall continue. That's the total, this issue of total depravity. Man will be told that he's a sinner, should come to Christ, and yet we will continue in our own sin. We are totally depraved. It takes the power of God to come and to redeem us from the bondage of sin. Okay, then we go to our next point. Why are all our righteousness as filthy rags? Yes, we have seen how we are totally depraved because of sin, and that our righteousness, we have been perfect or painted with sin. So as I said before, some still wouldn't like the expression that our righteousness are filthy rags. Some will tell you, oh, look at the philanthropists. Look at many people have done so many good things for their country. The rich and when issue can people donate and all that. But would that take away a sin? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Yes, it's good for humanity, for us to have humanity. But when it comes to sin, those things doesn't come in. We come to standing God with our own sins. You know, we say that sin is like clothing on us. It has covered us. How can that good thing that you think you do can take away yours? Even the good thing that those people are doing, do you know their personal lifestyles? They have not submitted, not all of them, most of them have not submitted their heart to Christ. They hate God. They wish there was no God for them to enjoy their own lives, as most of us think all the time. So it's not about doing good so that people will see that we have good righteousness. It's about our sin and how it can be taken away. That's where the righteousness hangs between. So that God sees the works of a sinner, corrupt and filthy. That is without the righteousness of Christ. If Christ's righteousness does not cover me, it has not been given to me, but whatever I do, whatever good it will be called, is still filthy before God. It doesn't count before Him. The kind of says, "On copying right, because they didn't train. Even mommy, Anya, me son, Anya, me ni answer no. Papa, be a me be a no. Are you feeling me ni? I say, infant say, let's say." Okay, I have to read a medicine at a university before I become a doctor. So how can I say I'm a doctor without medical, training and degree? Everybody hates hypocrite. You be hypocrite. More than we get people at Kolebu that they say they are doctors, they were arrested, that they were lying. Okay, it's the same thing. Christ, God said you have to have Christ's righteousness. But you say, oh no, I'll come with my own righteousness. Is it agreeable in life? You yourself, you are somebody, unless you bring this thing, I will not accept you. Or unless you do this and this, and I'll not allow you to come. Then the person comes doing different things. Will you accept the person? No. We personal, at personal level, we don't even do that. And God said that unless you have the righteousness of Christ, I will not accept you because of your sin. And your man will say, oh, we can do good, and God will accept it. Are we not deceiving our own selves? Then that I will say, let me give you this thing. How will you think? How will you feel? You will sit in, let's say, a truck or a bus, and a mad person in rags come to sit beside you. What do you think? you try to, maybe you try to push the scent and everything. You don't want to, let everything come closer. And you will not even allow such a person into your house in the first place. If you have something, you just give the person. And you don't want that person to come even closer. A mad person in rags in a bad state. And even a normal person in rags will not be allowed to go to the presidency. Is that not so? Will be at the quantity or Shantuma or Shantan, if you know, or Castle or President. What? I'm hungry. That's, never got to have a farm who crap, who shall not my dress ground, put in draw, I am hungry. And what about we coming to God with our own sin, naked, and yet we think we can come to Him and God should accept us? God is holy. He can't look upon sin. It's because of sin that He punished His own Son. It's because of sin that Christ should come and take human body, yet without sin. To beat him, to suffer and die. And yet, man will turn around and say, oh, we can come without righteousness. It's an insult to what God has done. But that is what, until we have believed in Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, accepted our condition, and repented of sin, that is what we are telling God. When we hear that, we have to repent. As we will not allow a mad person with a rag to sit by ourselves, God will never allow us in His presence, in reality. So, not our best way, our works as rats per se. It is as filthy rats. We have levels of rats. Is that not so? In the kitchen, we have some dirty rats that we use to clean the floor. We have some that we use to hold some of the plates and other things around. You can say, yeah, Papa, I'm going to go. There are rocks that are fit to be taken to a dunghill. So wretched, so filthy, and so despicable is man in his best estate. In our best estate, that is what we are. We are sinners through and through. We have been smeared with filthy rags of our own sinfulness. So that, as I said, the most important thing in Scripture is to know regarding our original condition of sin, is the misery of standing before God at the judgment day without the righteousness of Christ. One thing that should move our heart, that the day of judgment, when God shall judge us according to our righteousness, then we come with our own righteousness. God is going to judge us according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It says that because God had appointed a day in which He would judge the world in righteousness that by that man whom He had ordained, that is Jesus Christ, whereof He had given assurance unto all men in that He had raised Him from the dead. Look at that. God, knowing that He's going to judge the whole world with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His righteousness is going to be the meter line. I mean, the level is going to judge us. And ask yourself, if I'm not given that righteousness, how am I going to level up to be like Christ? I mean, from infancy, I began to sin. Even if today I should be more righteous, what about my past sins from infancy? How is it going to be taken care of? And every sin must be punished by the Holy Ghost. The Ekan is there. Yangu Pound, the Jesus was there. Now, the Ekan is there. They are training, but Christ was there. I tell you, it's a rule. They are too. So, the training is there. So how are we going to? So that is why it's very important to know our sin and to come to Him to have His righteousness over us. You know, all the good men of old in the Bible, they all know that they were sinners saved by grace. Look at what Job is saying here. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? Or say, this man nipa boni etie ah etai ah osi nipa nung boni the same issue. Then also, it's like Job, he was a friend of God. Job, who was trying, popular Job, he's saying that man is filthy and man is abominable in his best estate. You think about you yourself sitting down. You know the many thoughts that comes to your mind. Some you can't even prevent, but you pray for grace to let. If grace does not take us, if God does not hedge around, even while we are even sinners, and should allow us to do us. That it comes to our mind on what we desire. Nobody should be living in this world today. can't do 10 years. Name on your quadro, I born your phone for you. No quadro, it's a sea or more, so that I'm born in and cock my and say, oh, that is how merciful God is. So we know that our righteousness will not do any good idea of judgment, and then we ourselves will be turned away from God. And you know, those who come to the day of judgment, you see, it's like at a law court, and you are called up. I mean, that's not how it's going to be. But then you are called up. Okay, why me could do so and so? Turn up, plead your case. Come ask them. Say, I mean, for one and two. What are you going to see? I come with my righteousness. And is it Christ will tell them that depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out from me. Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and all the prophets, they trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They all rested their hope that Christ was going to come and to be crucified, and that his righteousness is that which has made them what they should be, people of God. Our lust, our fleshy desires, our sinfulness, our filthy rags, we taint our very best things, and that we cannot stand up before God in our own righteousness. So that you see how sinful, true and true that we are, until Christ himself has given us his righteousness. So we look at the third part, the worsening of our condition when we try to amend our righteousness. When Adam sinned, there was a breach between God and man. You see? Now man cannot approach God again until something is done. And the worst thing is when we try to come to God with our own righteousness, it makes a double hatred. As I made the first example, somebody has done bad thing, he has not corrected it, and is there, he's trying to do something to please you. I mean, Obia di bone, we don't even take it. You always want to remind him of what he has done wrong, that he should go back and do the correct thing. You will never accept him. But what about God? Yes, this is the bad thing. We want to make amendment. No, it's not that way. Until that original thing is taken care of, we can never have a second way to come to God. It must be by grace alone. I say, yeah, don't end up with to super. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, I bet you, I'm going to you, know. If he and Amatomoa, Christo Moja, Shabu, and I did say, but yes, I did the woo. Sir, I don't in Jumani. So I didn't put two of you in Moja. See, I did a jetty bedroom. Now you're fire from three and Cassius. A yame, actually, how can you have that gift if you are not giving? Think about that. Salvation is a gift. How can I be saved if I'm not giving? A gift has to be given. Actually, also, I did a bomb. As I mean, if I tell him, I was, oh, we want him now. That be, you are deceiving yourself. God has to give us. And we have to ask him. We have to go to him and ask him. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I don't have to be moving on in my sin. I have to go to him and ask him of the gift. Like a beggar by the wayside. If a beggar is sitting by the wayside and you are passing, if he has not asked him, mostly people don't, you know, but if you ask him, oh, then you give. But in the case of God, he has not forgotten us. But he said, in his terms, say, come and ask, and you shall be given. That is what he said. So you see that we have said Adam cannot, make himself righteous. You know, Adam, when he sinned, do you know how he first did? He took leaves to cover his nakedness. That also in the Garden of Eden. And when God came calling, Adam, where are you? I heard your voice and I was afraid because we have seen our nakedness. And what did they do? They used fig leaves, like leaves to cover themselves. That is doing something to cover their sin. But I did not hold. God himself took them to cover them with animal skin. And some will make it a type of Christ that animal was killed and the blood was shed and to cover them and all that. But whatever it is, God has to come and pick them and to clothe them and to make them acceptable before his eyes, before they can approach God. But because we ask someone, if God is not standing here physically, we think we can run around with God. But at the day of judgment, we cannot run around with our own lies. We have to come and God has to accept us. Remember, I mean, there was a miracle that Jesus Christ did for a woman who was bleeding for 12 years, bleeding of blood. And the woman said that she has gone to so many doctors and she was being worse. That is the case of someone who is a sinner and trying to improve himself before God. You see, but when this woman came to touch Jesus Christ, immediately the blood for 12 years was gone. So it is. If we knowing our sin, we could just come to Christ and confess and repent and trust Him. Immediately, the sin will be taken care of. He will give us a new heart. He will change our heart. He will give us His righteousness. God will accept us. He will be pardoned. He will redeem us. He will bring us to Himself and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will become a new people. He will give us a new life. Now we begin to live with the mind of God, with the mind of heaven in our mind. We will never hate any words of any laws of God again. We always love to be obedient to God. But until then, we will try to be obedient somehow, and just disobedient somehow. We think we are okay. So see, this woman, when she touched Jesus' blood, immediately her whole blood was taken away, and she was whole. So that you and I, when we also come to Christ, and just have our faith in Him, trust in Him, that His work on the cross of Calvary is our only hope for salvation, our only hope, so that our sins will be covered, then He will give us His righteousness to cover us, so that we shall be whole before Him. Remember in Galatians that we read, but in chapter 2, it says that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So that's the language of the Bible. So nipa, and yet even in Rana and 40 miles are born, or the mom said, Galatians chapter 3, I bet sent no more, who am I going? No more who saw me at the boy for, then we don't mind them, as to Christus. And then running when you had the mind, or be no better because you mean the so envy. Why was the one to mean this way? We are what from Ninia. And even in Rana or the ground, the Ten Commandments, any other laws, you know, if we say we want to obey them, we can never take away sin until we have come to Christ through faith and rested our hope on Him. Then we look at our fourth point, the necessity of having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, when I started, I said that God, Israel was the family of God on earth at that time, and He gave them laws that they have to obey Him, and then He blessed them. God still has His family on earth today. Besides, because Israel, and how is He having His people in this earth? The people of God are those who will come to Christ, and Christ saves them and brings them. We call them a family. Then we are joined to the family of God. You remember the account that we read in Galatians chapter 3. It said that where there is no Greek, there is no Jew. Where there is no Gentile, where there is no male, female. Not that there is neutrality, but talking about coming to be part of the people of God, even on this earth. So you see that when I have Christ's righteousness, it's not just having it, I'll be joined to the people of God. I'll be made part of the church. Not, yes, we have the local church like this, but then the church of the first world, the church of all those Christ has saved from Old Testament even to this time. I'm part of the people of God. Not just a nation, but I'm part of people of God. And you know what blessings it is to have, be part of the family of God. There are so many blessings in the Bible for us. How He will keep us daily, how He bless our way, how He will even keep us from all temptations, and also give us a heart of quietness in times of trouble. So, yen yangu pondi nko fwa. Abe ma akuma, emre mpwa, enyo mwa ya de yon, wo se yene jiwo yakumi. Ah, man fwa, e ha ha yon, yene jiwo yakumi. Ene, obe ma ya yene nko fwa, yebe kan ubi. Just this Easter, I saw some jokes on the social media. People were rather praising Judas. I don't know if some of you have seen that jokes. It's a serious joke. I see people responsible people, quote unquote, in the world, saying that, oh, if Judas did not achieve his end, Christ, the work of redemption, would have been completed. It's a big blasphemy a human being can never quote. Christ has been crucified, and you are praising Judas. So they say that Judas should be given a credit. May the Lord have mercy upon those who are joking like that. That praising a man's sin, Judas himself committed suicide. He's lost. Judas never repented of his sin. He's lost. Yeah, if he had repented, Christ would have saved him. Because the thief on the cross, he saved him. But Judas went to commit suicide. No true believer in Christ will commit suicide. Whatever the situation, God will uphold you. He will never commit suicide. And people are praising Judas that he has achieved something. Oh, may the Lord help these people. But then the family of God, how are they? They are people that they are holy ones. They are saints. They have been washed with the blood of Christ. If you say, And as I said before, at the day of judgment, the righteousness of Christ that we will have, that will stand. This will train me a warfare in a bit now. So that we can appear before God with confidence. Even in this life, how can I come to God in prayer knowing that I have not, I'm still a sinner? I will pray. I don't know how my prayer will be effective. But when I have confidence that through Jesus Christ, I will be accepted because He has already taken away my sin, how I can pray with confidence. And look at, as I said, the prophets were also happy with the righteousness of Christ. Look at what Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. He said that, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He, God, had clothed me with a garment of salvation. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness. And Old Testament things. God has what? Covered him with what? With the robe of what? Righteousness. Yes, one day. Train there and to my action, which is the salvation in Christ, which is the righteousness of Christ. And only Christ will train there. No, sir, you didn't order anything about it. A person, Isaiah, an energy, all come from it. Was anything you had the boy for, or so also can be. Then was it there? The energy said, I'm going there, or the train there and the action. If you saw the JD action. So, in a summary, how Christ is said to us as a righteousness and his relationship to anyone who believes is this. He gives us a garment of justification so that we are no more called sinners before God. Garment of sanctification. You know that the first part is we are unclean. And the second part, our righteousness, are filthy rags. Talking about we are not justified and we are also not sanctified. So our justification to be called righteous before God, our sanctification to be called that we are not filthy before God. So you see, God justifies us and He also cleanses us. So there are two things, justification and sanctification. And those things are all combined. The garment of redemption. And Tadia, I shall see him, you feet, a friend is saying, one name, put you on me. The garment of righteousness, training, and Tadia, and the garment of glory and beauty, which we have when Christ comes. You know that, First John said that it doesn't appear what we shall be when Christ comes. Believers will appear. You know, when Christ resurrected, you know, He had a body, but it wasn't a normal body. A body that can pass through a wall. A body that was glorified. Yes, we shall have a body. We shall not be spirit, just spirit beings. We have spiritual body because before anyone can have that, we have to be forgiven now. We have to have the righteousness of Christ. So that when He appears, we shall also be given. This body will be changed. But if I don't have the righteousness of Christ, when God is changing people, He can't change me. My righteousness will not allow God to change me. So that I will not be glorified. Those who go to hell, I know they will be given a body, but they will go to hell with a body that is so degraded even than this normal body. It will be more painful to have that body, and then they will suffer ever in hell. But Christ is set out to us. Christ, you need to know my It doesn't appear what we shall be. And how many believers, all believers, think of the day of that glorified day. When we shall be changed from this body, when there will be no more illness, sickness, disappointment and death and everything, then we shall be like Him. Then we shall be ever to be with Him in heaven. But can I ask each of us a question? Have we also found His righteousness? Is He your only hope for forgiveness? Is He your only hope for sanctification and redemption? Also, Christ, or your train here now. And now, or your watum, while you be a while so I'm what you will feel born in one now. One difficult thing is the sanctification people think that it's not necessary, but it should be it's one of the key points of our salvation. If God saves me from sin, He doesn't save me in sin. So if I claim to be saved and I live in any known sin, either I'm saved and I'm drawn back, or I've been disobedient and backslided, which if a safe person is in it, will definitely come out immediately. Or else, but if I continue in a known sin, it's a question of my, if I claim to be saved, it's a question of my salvation. Because He saved us from our sin, not in our sin. So sanctification, we are, believers are sanctified. We live more holy day after day. So the more we grow in our salvation, the more we become more holier. The more we hate sin, the more we hate things that God hates. Initially, there are things we begin to not, but as we grow in sanctification, we need to hate what sin hates. So we should ask ourselves, do I have Christ's righteousness? That's the beginning. When I have it, then I begin to live holy. If I don't have, then there's repentance. I can still come to Christ. I can still let go of my sin. I can still hate them. You know, hating your sin is not because you hate them per se, but because Christ was killed for your sin. Because say me chini me born and yesterday I'm chini keke. If you say me born in Tina Christ, you're born as you. That should give you a stronger reason to repent of your sin. Say me born in Tina Christ, you're born as you. Then you me born here, I can walk one okay, in Galatians they can say, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. And Christ was cursed because of you and I. And will you look at his curse that he took and still continue your sin? No. Let all come to Christ. Let find him. Let come and confess our sins, knowing who we are, sinners true and true. And God will never turn anyone who truly comes to him to ask for pardon. No, God will never do. Many people are not saved because they love their sins. Christ himself said, repent and believe. So long as I love my sins, God will never give the righteousness of Christ over me. But immediately God knows that I don't love, I hate my sin and I want to be out of it. Yes, he said, this son, this person, I have to redeem him. Yet, our repentance doesn't save us. God, through Christ, death on the cross, saves us. So may the Lord help us to reflect on these things and know that without shedding of blood, there's no remission, as we are told in Hebrews. So the blood of Christ alone, our hope for pardon, forgiveness, our justification, and our sanctification, and our redemption, and our wisdom in life as we live. And may the Lord help us.